Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Conversations Live, where we bring you the best in music, books, entertainment, and current events. When the movers and shakers of the world have something to say to you, they say it to us. Now, here is your host, Cyrus Webb.
And welcome back, everyone, to Conversations Live. I'm your host, Cyrus Webb. Glad you all could join us once again. I'm excited today to welcome to our program Dr. Victoria Dunkley. We're going to talk to her not only about her new book, Reset Your Child's Brain, but also what it's been like for her to bring attention to something that, honestly, I had never heard of before, and that was electronic screen syndrome and how it might be impacting not only the children in your life, but maybe even yourself. The subtitle of the book is A 4-Week Plan to End Meltdowns, Raise Grades, and Boost Social Skills by Reversing the Effects of Electronic Screen Time. I'm going to talk to Dr. Dunkley not only about what led her to write the book, but also what it's been like for her to see already the response to some of the suggestions she gives, as well as how people are already seeing improvements in their own lives. Dr. Dunkley, hello to you, and welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me, Cyrus.
Hey, well, look, the pleasure is definitely all mine. I was mentioning to you before we went live here, and my regular audience here in Mississippi knows I don't have any children of my own, but I kept reading this book and smiling and thinking to myself, you know what, I know a lot of people, including myself, that could benefit from a little bit of a fast. I mean, what has it been like for you already to be able to see the way that people are not only seriously considering, of course, the effects of electronic screen syndrome, but also raising awareness of what it even is?
Yeah, well, this topic has been my passion for over a decade now, mm-hmm. and obviously it's become much more complicated as we get more and more devices. But I've been, you know, writing articles about this for a long time now, and I get so many emails from parents and grandparents, you know, across the U.S. and Canada and even in other countries, saying, you know, thanking me and saying, I've noticed this too, but they've mentioned it to a doctor or something, and they were their, you know, feelings or their thoughts were minimized. So I think it's really, I mean, I'm excited to be having this conversation and to, like, really raise awareness, because I think a lot of people kind of know it intuitively, but it's so countercultural that it's hard to express.
Right. The interesting thing for me, Dr. Dunkley, and I thought about this too when I was reading the book and prepping for this segment, it is so interesting that how technology has in some many ways made the world easier and more accessible, but also isolated us. I mean, isn't that kind of a fascinating conundrum to think about, how that we have kind of become, you know, more solo in the way that we look at things, and so we don't really know how to react to people maybe the way that we did before we had all of these things.
Right. I mean, the world is definitely changing, and it's really a dichotomy, because it does help us connect to people. It does help us access information, and it kind of levels the playing field in many ways. But there's so many risks at the same time, and really there just needs to be more education around how to use it in a productive way, how to protect kids' brains as they're growing up so that they don't get too much of it, so that they can use it in productive ways when they become adults. And so there's, you know, people are just now starting to talk about media literacy and what it means to use it productively. But I think there needs to be even more conversation about what it does to the brain physiologically, especially to a developing brain.
Right, right. And that's why I think children are definitely so susceptible to this. So, I mean, when it comes to ESS, electronic screen syndrome, again, this is something that, I read a whole lot, but it's not something that you hear a lot of people talking about. Do you think one of the reasons why, Dr. Dunkley, you don't, is because it is so difficult for people to wrap their minds around actually doing something about their devices, being able to pull themselves and their loved ones away for a time to be able to see how that can help them?
Right. I think, I mean, the reason I kind of wanted to coin a name for it was because the way that screens impact us manifests in different ways, especially in kids. It can manifest in all different kinds of ways, and a lot of those things end up being behavior problems. But the underlying mechanism for all, you know, no matter how it manifests, it's all stress-based. So if we look at it as a stressor, and we know how stress looks like, you know, what stress looks like in kids and in adults, then it's easier to imagine what it's doing. And I just find that the more people understand, you know, kind of what goes on behind the scenes, the more likely they are to be careful about it with their kids and with themselves. But yes, there's a tremendous amount of resistance because, you know, let's face it, we're all attached to our devices and it's really hard to get away from it, you know, once you're immersed in it.
Right. I think that is the thing, and I think that's why working together is definitely important. In the very title of the book, you have a big word that kind of appears throughout the book, Dr. Dunkley, and that is reset. And that reset, I think, is so important on a lot of different levels. I thought about when I was reading, it's important, of course, for us to think about, for one, that maybe the, you know, the decisions that we've made may not have worked. I've had some of my friends who would go to events, and they give their child a device or their phone to keep them busy, to keep them kind of out of the way, thinking that's a good thing, you know, for the actual event,
right?
Because that way the kids aren't, you know, acting crazy. But do you think a lot of the reason why there is such an issue with this is because it has to make parents think, okay, have I been making the right decision by making so many of these devices available to our child, even making sure they have their own, especially phones?
Right. Yeah, I mean, I think you know, when we start talking about restricting them, there's so many emotions that come up for parents, and one of the big ones is guilt. There's guilt about taking it away, and there's guilt about what they've already done.
Right.
So if they, you know, part of what I talk about, when they really kind of wrap their mind around it, it's really uncomfortable, you know, to think about what they've allowed, not on purpose, but, I mean, unwittingly what they've allowed. And people don't want to think about that, you know. So it's human nature to kind of push it away and just kind of go with the status quo and just keep doing it. So yeah, it's hard to. But you know what I really want to emphasize is that everybody does it, and it, no matter what has happened in the past or what you've allowed in the past, it doesn't mean that you can't change what you're doing going forward. And it
right.
You know, kids are resilient and their brains are flexible. So really, even if you have exposed them already, you can still make a huge difference going forward.
Exactly. And you know, and that's why the word reset, I think, is so important, because it doesn't mean it's too late. I think if
right.
anyone's listening to this conversation, if they're picking up the book, Reset Your Child's Brain, they're understanding that there is time, and that's what you lay out. And we're going to get into some of the things that you suggest in the book. I want to say, for those who are just tuning in, either on the radio side or online, you're listening to Conversations Live. Excited to welcome to our program today Dr. Victoria Dunkley. She's the author of the new book, Reset Your Child's Brain, a 4-week plan to end meltdowns, raise grades, and boost social skills by reversing the effects of electronic screen time. The other thing I thought was interesting in this book, and again, going back to the fact that I don't have children of my own, I can't imagine how difficult this might be for some, but the other R word that you address in the book, Dr. Dunkley, is resistance. Not only resistance on the part of the child, but also of a spouse, of the family around when you're making the decision that this is what you're going to do. I mean, you know,
it's
is
huge.
That something that everyone should expect? That not everyone's going to say, oh, yeah, let's go for it. Let's, you know, let's cut this off and do something else. Let's go out and play in the yard. That there will be that resistance and that you have to still be able to stay firm with that.
Yeah, I think that there's like two levels of resistance for the parents. One is like they finally decide that they want to, you know, they understand what's going on and now they want to address it. And then immediately following that, there's, you know, kind of a sinking feeling like, oh, my spouse is not going to go along with it, or his babysitter won't go along with it, or whatever. You know, so it is overwhelming. That is one of the reasons why people don't address it. But I think, you know, I've done this for so many years with so many families, and I think, you know, the key is really educating those around you, kind of presenting doing the 4-week program as an experiment. And because then it doesn't seem like it's forever. And then figuring out who's going to support you and who isn't, and just, you know, doing the program anyway. And then eventually a lot of the naysayers will kind of come on board once they see the results.
Right. And I think that is the thing. And I think, you know, there's a saying that's going around these days, and it's one I think that really – you know, kind of, I think fits in perfectly with the reset, and that is, you know, you're taking something away for a time, but also giving great examples of things that people can do in the meantime. For my listeners in Mississippi, my home state, and Dr. Dunkley, I think they'll appreciate this. The school year is getting ready to begin here, and I think there are a lot of things out there that can be done that they don't necessarily need to be able to be glued to a phone or to a device to be able to do. I want to talk about the going back to the basics, because I have had this conversation with my mother, who has done very well, I should say, of not going into the hype. She's on the computer only to play solitaire. She doesn't get online at all. She has an iPad that she only uses at church. So she's very disciplined in that regard. She's not, you know, she loves to talk on the phone, to go visit friends and, you know, and be out in the yard and that kind of thing. Do you think that also is a way for, you know, for us to reconnect to that, to the simpler way, and actually get to know each other again?
Right. I think we forget that those are the things that we do naturally, and that is how we become healthy, when we get back to the basics. I mean, I think there's a tendency to overcomplicate life and overcomplicate health and overcomplicate money. But really, you know, whether you're talking about money or weight or your mind, it really goes back to the basics. You know, the same things that we knew 100 years ago, are the same things are true now. So the more natural we live, and the more, the more we live with nature in terms of light and dark and being physical and interacting with our physical world and nature, then the healthier we become. And I think parents feel like they're worried that their kid won't know what to do, and the kid feels that way too. But within a few days, they naturally will start playing again. They're programmed to play. You know, that's a kid's job, is to play. So it's not going to be like some mystery to them. They will figure it out naturally.
Yeah, I think that is the amazing thing, again, about this book, is that it does help us to kind of see. And you give some great examples, too. And I should say, you know, for those who are listening thinking, I can't do this, you have some great examples of individuals, you know, who have been able to actually see the results. What is that like for you personally, to know that something that you have spent so much time researching and now being able to share, that it actually is making a difference and you're hearing about that?
It's huge. I mean, that's why I do it. I mean, it's a lot of work to write a book. I'd never want to do it again. But really, that is the reward, is hearing, you know, of course I see it with my own patients, but it really is awesome when I get an email from a parent or a grandparent telling me that they did it and the results they saw. It's just, I can't even explain it. So it's great. I mean, that's what keeps me going. And I think, that's my mission, is I really want parents, so many kids are struggling these days, I really want parents to see there's an answer, and it's essentially free. You know, it's non-invasive, it's free, it's doable, and that's kind of, you know, the message I want to send out.
Right, and I think that is it. And I think, too, you know, it is not all about taking away. It also is about just making adjustments. And you bring up a really good point in the book, too. And I know people have heard this before, especially parents, that training and everything begins at home. You even make the point that even when it comes to the reset and being able to look at devices differently, that it also begins at home. And you give some really practical things about screen size, things I've never even thought about, to be quite honest with you, the size of the screen and what the settings are. I mean, we all have seen these settings on our phones and, you know, on our laptops and things. But, you know, do you hope that people are just able to think about just those decisions, how
the amount of time
they're spending, how it makes a difference?
Yeah, absolutely. I think I'm sensitive myself. And so I kind of have a, you know, built-in protection because of that, because I know my sleep gets impacted really quickly. I get irritable quickly. So I don't like a lot of screen time. But obviously when I was writing the book, I spent hours and hours writing and researching. So I have really had to focus on what would help me and what would get me through and still be productive and still be happy. And a lot of those things were really simple, you know, turning the brightness down. There's some software you can install on any phone, any computer, to make it a little bit darker and more warm-toned as the day goes on. The size of the screen, if the smaller screen is less arousing. And people's TVs these days, you know, the color is so vibrant and it's not natural. So all these little things, you know, even if they affect just a 5% here and there, but if you add them all up, you're really reducing the amount of stimulation.
Right. And I think that is the amazing thing. I have to talk about school. I mentioned, of course, for in the South and in other areas, too, of course, you know, kids are getting ready to go back to school. How important is that communication when it comes to the schools about, you know, about, you know, what the children are, you know, should be doing, especially if it falls within the time that you are doing this, you know, electronic fast. How important is that communication with the school?
Well, ideally, they would be able to do the fast without any screen time, I mean, school-based screen time either. And I used to be able to do that quite easily. I would just write a note for a kid, you know, for the mother to take to school. Nowadays, obviously, it's harder to make it a super clean fast. It really depends on the school because they vary quite a bit in how much homework they give that's online, how much they're doing during the day. But more and more, you know, schools are incorporating a lot more technology. So what I recommend, just because it's difficult sometimes to get the school to cooperate, is just try to do the fast first at home. And then if it doesn't really work or if it's semi-effective, then to try to bring the school piece in. And then, and I have advice on my website, Reset Your Child's Brain, that will help parents kind of do that and, you know, logistical help.
Has it also been beneficial for you, I mean, and also I would have to say probably for those that you've been able to work with, Dr. Dunkley, to know that they're not going through this by themselves, that they have you as a resource, not only through the website, but now through this book that they can take with them and share. Has that kind of been a great thing, you know, as well, to be able to know that?
Yes. I mean, I really want parents to know that, I mean, I do want to help people. You know, obviously I don't want to spend a lot of time on Facebook or something like that, but there is a Facebook page that's we're developing so that parents can ask questions and support each other. So, I think that goes a long way, in because I've seen when parents do it, when they do it together, it's much more successful. So I think having, you know, knowing that other people are doing it out there, I think will really help success.
Right. And I think that is an amazing thing. You know, you mentioned, of course, the difficulty in writing a book like this and, of course, the amount of time that it takes because you're doing all this research. I mean, you know, the validation, though, has to be in knowing that, you know, not only, you know, I've heard individuals come on this show over the years and say, if I could just affect one person. I mean, you are able, of course, because of the platform that you have, you're able to affect a lot more than one. But, I mean, does that make all the hard work worthwhile knowing that you're making such a difference?
Yes, it does. And I really, you know, at the individual level, it's tremendously rewarding. For, you know, any time I help one child, of course, I'm doing cartwheels. But what I really want to do now is make a difference in how we're in school policy, particularly with after school when kids are having to do so much in the evening, because we already know that impacts their sleep. You know, sleep insomnia has become an epidemic. So at least some of the research about that has become more mainstream, especially in the medical community. So my hope is that eventually we'll be able to implement policies so that kids don't have that to deal with that on top of everything else. Because there's some research that shows that iPad programs end up adding like 2 hours a day of screen time. So that's huge, you know. That's a lot.
Right. Well, you know, and again, you know, just to get people to thinking about things differently, I think that is enough. And I think to know that there is a name now that they can associate electronic screen syndrome, to let them know that it is a problem. And I think, you know, for a lot of us, we know we spend too much time,
mm-hmm.
especially adults. We know that we need to break away some. We need to do something else. But I think, you know, the great thing is, you know, to be able to know that you're not, you know, alone in this. Means a great deal, and it all begins somewhere. And I think that is the other thing that we get from this book, is that it begins with a decision, and it's little steps too, I think, you know, taking
mm-hmm.
those little steps that can really mean so much. I mentioned earlier about being able to, you know, replace things. On page 144 of the book, week one of the things that Dr. Dunkley has done is to share some great things that you can do, you know, great games that you can play, you know, being creative. I think that's one thing, you know, we kind of take for granted. I mean, how beneficial was that for you to know that you could give them, not just tell them what to take away, Dr. Dunkley, but give them ideas of what they could add to their child's life?
I mean, I think, you know, a lot of that is to kind of help them feel a little bit more secure when they're doing it. But a lot of these things, you know, like I said earlier, are things that the kid will do naturally anyway. But parents do feel a little bit more, you know, less anxious about doing it if they kind of have some things set up. Most of these things are things that I've learned from other, you know, from parents.
Right.
So, you know, kids, almost all kids like to play with Legos. You know, most kids like to do build things, you know, make, whether it's making jewelry or a model or something like that. So there's things that kids can do, you know, even if there's no siblings around or other kids to play with, that they can do by themselves, like a Rubik's Cube. You know, that's what we did when I was in junior high, you know, and kids still like those things.
Right.
Puzzles, you know, just things like that. And if you remove all the other electronic stuff, they will start playing with those things again and become interested again. And some of the, you know, a lot of these things, parents already have these things in their closets. They're just haven't been played with.
Right, exactly. You know, the other thing I thought about as you discuss weeks 2 through 4 and you're giving, you know, what could be the effects of, you know, when it's not, you know, accepted as well as you would like. You talk about the withdrawal reactions. I want to go to one thing that you point to that I think is so interesting, and that is the first bullet point under withdrawal reactions on page 169 for those who have the print edition. Younger children bounce back more quickly, usually in 1 to 3 days. What I thought about with that is, to me, it says, and I want you to answer this, that it's important to start early in this and to let it become a common practice that we're not so defined by these things.
Yes. It's I still treat teens and young adults, but it's much more difficult. I mean, even teens will, if you do the reset, they will bounce back pretty quickly.
Mm-hmm.
But it's in terms of their overall habits, it's, you know, it's just harder to reverse them once they're a teenager or a young adult. So the earlier you start this now, the earlier that you form those habits with the child, and even the earlier that the child kind of knows, because I have a lot of kids who are really young, and after they've been off electronics for a while, they start to notice things, and they notice things in their friends.
Right.
And so, I mean, I love it when that happens.
Yeah.
But, you know those kids are going to be okay because they can kind of see. So, I think starting early it's really important from a biological point of view as well. Cyrus?